You are listening to a Central Life Christian Church presentation. For more information, visit centrallife.com.au.
All pagan religion was practiced, Roman worship, Greek worship, all of that sort of stuff was at this place called the Gates of Hell. And Jesus gathers his disciples together and stands them all there and asks them this question, "Who do you say that I am?" And as we know, Peter pipes up and he says, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Christ, meaning Christos, or "you are the Messiah" in Hebrew. It basically, Peter got a revelation of who Jesus was. When we get a revelation of who Jesus is, it'll change the whole world. Because what does it say? It says that, "And the gates of hell will not overcome it." You and I are the church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Amen. That's exciting. I'll say it again because only one person got excited. You are the church, and the gates of hell will not overcome you. Yeah. Woo! That is good news. We see so much stuff going on, yeah? Yeah. And you'll see it, and even if you don't want to see it, you're seeing it. And I want to say to you today that if we can get a revelation of who we are as a church, we will overcome the gates of hell. Yeah. And that will not prevail over the church. Yeah. And that's you and me. So I'm wanting to open up a few things here this morning. What church is, why church, what is church? And so we see here in this, and I'm sort of ad-libbing a little bit because I'm tossing whether to leave this in or pull it out, and I just felt the word ekklesia is not a Greek word. It's a Roman word. Jesus could have used all sorts of names for the church, like I just wrote some here. He could have called it, "And I will build my synagogue." He could have said, "I will build my temple," or "I will build my tabernacle." These are all nicely sounding words, aren't they? "I would build my congregation," or "my nation," or "people." But he uses the word, which is a Roman word, ekklesia, or ecclesia, however you want to say it. And if I just go back in a little bit of history on what is ekklesia, it is when a Roman township was a Roman township, it had what was called an ekklesia, which was a governing authority over the town. And so when the Romans came to overtake a township, they would come to the leader of the town and they would say to the leader of the town, "You've got two options. You either become one of us or we'll kill you and wipe out your family, we'll destroy your fields, we'll put salt in your fields, you'll never grow anything again, we'll kill your women, your children, pillage, etc., etc., or you can become one of us." I dare say most of them became one of them because there was a legion of armies ready to overtake and do what I just said. But what they would do is they would then Once the hand is shook and they're overtaking the township, they would come and they would pick a group of people that would govern the town. There was only two requirements, and the two requirements was you got to pay Roman taxes and there's to be no upheaval, no unrest. You've got to keep the order. And so they would choose people and they would become like a body council, a council to the town, and that was called ecclesia. We have let so much go. If that's what Jesus meant by ecclesia, the church, the body of Christ, being a body council to its township or its community, we have let so much go. When we take prayer out of school, when we take even the queen off the wall. If you go down to the cafe shop down here, you'll still see the queen up on the wall. Now, I'm not necessarily a monarchist, but I do believe in what the queen stands for. And if we take the queen out, and it'll take God out, a little bit more of God out. I'm happy if you take the queen out as long as you leave God in. Hear me when I say that. I'm not against the queen. But you know what I stand for now. but I stand for God. And encouraging you this morning to be the church. Be the church. It says that God says, I will build my church. It is not man building this church. It's not our program. It's not my suit that I wear or the people that we gather or the music we do or the anything that we would do. We are the church and God is building it. That takes the pressure off. Because if we're not building it, we don't have to worry too much as long as we hear from God. And the next bit says, I will give you. Again, God giving you keys of the kingdom. He's giving you keys. He's giving you keys of revelation. See, this was all about a revelation that Peter got. It was a revelation. Like, it didn't come from himself. Where would he get these words from? Peter was always the one on the edge, ready to go. He jumped out of the boat first. He was always the first one to speak and get into trouble. But this time he got it right. I love it. He got it right. And Jesus rewarded him for it. Don't be afraid to speak. Don't be afraid to be yourself. Don't be afraid to be the church. Just because you have the gospel message and you know it's real for you, make sure that you spread it. Make sure that you evangelize it. Make sure that you tell your friends about it. You remember when you first got saved? I was a lunatic. You think I'm mad now. You should have seen me when I was back then. I was crazy. I was one of them crazy people. Look what God's done now. It's not so different. So what is the church? The simple answer is we are God's people with authority to extend his kingdom. That's who we are. We are God's answer in the earth. And the gates of hell will not prevail over it. Woo! I'll get a little bit excited at times. This is built around Christ. Dave spoke this morning about identity in Christ. This is all about Jesus Christ. It's not about the church building. You know, if you ask somebody, where are you going today? I'm going to church. Oh, where is it? North entrance. North Wyon. Where, you know, what are you going to do there? I'm going to worship God. I'm going to worship Jesus. That's what I'm going to connect with God's people. Why are you going to do that? Why are you doing that? Oh, it's just a fun time. And for some, it is a fun time. Oh, I need my healing. That's why I'm going. Good. That's a good reason to go. But it's not the full reason to go. Because we build this places to be the holy ground. You know, take everyone, slip your shoes off, you know. Oh, please don't. This is holy ground. It's Old Testament. We are now have been made holy because of Jesus Christ. It's his holiness. It's his righteousness. It's his peace. It's his love. They're all the things that I operate in now. So we are God's people with authority to extend the kingdom, his kingdom, the kingdom of God. That's a powerful, powerful thought. So I'm wanting to add another word in here. And I'm wanting to just lighten it up a little bit. So I've got a couple of little video clips, and there's some sound down there. Don't play it just yet. I'm wanting to throw another word in, and it's called community. Come in unity. Community. Come together in unity. Community. If we can do community together, and there's this great story, if I get time at the very end, about a community that got it right. And it was like 288 years ago, a little Pentecost that happened in Germany. And it's very interesting what happened, so I can't go there right now. So, what is community? It's a place where I feel like I belong. It's a place where I feel like it supports me. It's a place where I feel safe. It's a place that loves and accepts me. Is that you? Hopefully it's you, or it's becoming you. Not often can we just quickly put our hand up like that. Some of us transition quickly. Some of us are very slow. And today I'm wanting to just to help everybody along that journey, whether it's slow or quick, into community. If we could just play the first little clip, that'd be great. I gave you. Okay, that's my first little funny little clip. There's safety in numbers. As you see the little penguin sitting on the iceberg, and I love the little fella that it's at the very end, it just doesn't get it. And there's enough swing where there's enough people doing community, all heading in the same direction. Even if we don't have people that aren't moving in the same direction, they'll just get caught up with it anyway. And the enemy will not prevail. Great little picture. Great little picture. If we actually come together in unity and we unify, it will overcome the enemy. In John's Gospel, chapter 3 and verse 3, if you want to swing into there. I'm just going to go pretty quick here. So this is about Nicodemus asking lots of questions. He was a rather wise man. And he was asking about being born again. And Jesus replied, this is in verse 3, chapter 3, verse 3. In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he's born again." If you can imagine this morning that you're on top of a hill and you are looking down into to the valley or to a marketplace where there's buildings and a church and there's animals and all that sort of stuff, you will see something there. So there's something about seeing church. But then if we go down further here in verse, I'll just read verse 5. Jesus answered Nicodemus again, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit." Basically meaning born, you know, water, physical and supernatural. There's a natural and a supernatural thing happening there. But one verse is talking about seeing it and looking at it. There's another thing called entering. And so often we will look at it and we'll look at it from a distance and wonder what it'll be like down there at church. I wonder. And often, I've done it myself. We've wandered around and we've tried to work out, oh, I wonder what church is really like. But it's not until you enter into relationship with Jesus and his people and we become a community that we really find out who, what we're all really like. Jesus, there's two things going on here. Jesus is expanding his kingdom with the church, but he's also wanting you to get to know each other too. There's two very important things going on here. And I just don't want to be an observer of church. I don't want to be just looking at it. And I understand there's a period of transition there of actually becoming church. But I just don't want to just look at it. I want to be one that enters in. I want to be full on. I want to just be totally sold out to God. I want to be obsessed like Paul was. I want to be like what Janet was last week. I just want to be just totally sold out for God. And I want you to get it too. And when we do, we'll start dancing around the church. Sorry, Steve. And there we'll start to see healings and miracles and signs and wonders. And we'll start to see a move of God. Because we unified amongst ourselves. Video clip 2, please. Volume? Yep. Not only are there safety in numbers, but when we fit together, together we're strong. There was a bit of a slogan going on Radio Rima, I don't know, 12 months ago. And that was their slogan. When we fit together, together we're strong. And when we actually fit together, even with all of our differences, whether that be physical or spiritual, God is really looking for unity. He's not looking at your theology. He's not looking at what you think and what you look like or smell like. He's really looking at the body of Christ unifying and becoming the body of Christ. He can actually use that. He can't use the other. When it's disunified, you know, envy and strife, all of those two words are together all the time. They like hanging out together, envy and strife. And bitterness and gossip and all of those things. And I'm not saying that any of that's here. I really wouldn't know. I'm not that much in touch with it, but I don't see it so much. But I think we're very close. We're on the precipice of something. There's a momentum right now. There's God's doing something right now. And I don't want to miss that. I don't know about you, but I don't want to miss that. I want to connect. I want to get together like those ants. I remember my very, very first sermon was, "Go to the ant, O sluggard." This is my first sermon preaching to people. You sluggards, you know. Remember, when I was younger, I was much bolder and sillier. Now I'm doing it a different way. And there's something about being active in the kingdom. There's something about finding out and really appreciating everybody's gifts and abilities. And even though we may not feel like, I really don't know that I want to connect with you, but I know I have to. And you'll find, and this has been my experience, is that when you connect with that person that you're not quite sure about, or you're not, will I, won't I? And when you do, God does something. They actually become best friends. Have you ever had an enemy and you become best friends? Has anybody had that experience? Like you fought. I had that with my, I'm even going to leave that alone. It was with my history teacher at school. And we fought. It was the worst experience in the world. And I just remember I did a science experiment because I loved science, and I made this little robot. You know those little tanks when you've got the little thing that steers left and right, a little tank? Well, I ripped that off and I put a container on the top, and it was a robot, and I took it to science and they thought it was the best thing. I was in D grade and next year I went straight to A grade. Because I made this thing. I said, I wonder if I can do that for history too. So for history, I got Mum to get some felt out and make a little suit. And I suited him up and made him into Leonardo da Vinci. And I brought Leonardo da Vinci that could walk and turn left and right into history. And I was in D grade and the next year I went to A grade. That's wisdom. There's something about connecting with people that you don't necessarily get along with. What is God wanting to do? What does God want to do here? I think we can answer that question. He wants us to get along. He wants revival. He wants this community to explode. We fit together, and together we are strong. If we're talking about senses, we're starting to smell each other. Have you ever moved house for someone? Has anybody done that here at the church? Move, and you get a physical sweat up and all that sort of stuff, and you start to smell. Well, that's the body of Christ starting to smell a little bit. That's a good thing. You might find that hard to believe, but I think that's a good thing because we're actually getting closer. We're not so much looking at it anymore where you can't, I can't smell that far away, but when I start to smell you, Steve, that's when I know I'm getting a little bit closer and maybe too close to you. It's when I start to hear. If I'm just looking at it, I still can't hear what's going on down there either. So I know when I'm closer to it is when I smell you and when I can hear you. That's when I know, and you know, you're getting a little closer to this, what I'm talking about. If you're just seeing it and maybe feeling it, doesn't necessarily mean that you're actually becoming it. So there's this preschool. I picked up Alana's preschool notes. She's just started, not Cert 3, but who? Oh, diploma. I just wanted you to speak louder. Diploma, and she, in her notes is these three words: beholding, becoming, and being. Has anybody heard those three words at all together? So we are beholding community. We start out beholding it, looking at community. We then becoming community. And then we are being community. So there's a state of being community. I don't know that we're there yet, but we're definitely becoming community. And I think that's a really powerful thing for us to grab hold of, where we understand our strengths and our weaknesses. Video clip 3, please. Thanks. I love it. It's all about the little guy. It's not all about the big guy. It's about the little guy. It's not about your strength. It's about your weakness. I love it. The little guy out on his own ain't going to make it. If you're just out on a hill looking at it, wondering what it's going to be like, you ain't going to make it. You get knocked off real quick, real easy. But when you gather together, when we formulate, interestingly, we sung, there's an army rising up this morning. There is an army rising up. And part of being the army of God is that we are a little regimented at times, and we need to step up and we need to shoulder in. We need to gather together. We need to come together. And when we do, we protect the little one. I'm okay. I can battle out. I can battle this. I'm used to that. That's my personality. My personality is give me a machete and we'll just battle through this thing. I don't give a rip. And I'll battle through. But I'll be left on my own out in the middle of a forest. Might have carved a great path, but I'll be on my own. We've got to come together. Come together right now over Jesus. Over Jesus. Sorry. Oh dear. So we are, and I'm nearly finished here, we're becoming community, becoming church, where we actually start to taste what it's like. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. When we actually start to have a meal together, when we start to have communion, community, intimacy together, we start to taste. And the sixth is faith. You try saying it. The sixth tenth is faith. When we start to eat together, taste, and start to bring faith into the mix, you watch what God will do. I don't know about you, but I just feel like I just want to give you a big hug. All right, come on. I don't know about you, but we get different preachers up here and it's a risk you take, Steve. But I'm the kind of person that I just want this thing to happen. I know it's deep down inside you that you want this thing to happen. Words. Whatever those words were. That is a place of maturity. When we actually become and into being, we actually become mature in Christ. I put the former things aside. I put my childlike things aside. I put my grievances aside. I put my issues, my offences, my stuff aside. They're childlike, and I move into maturity now in Christ, and I choose to become the army of God. Why? Because we are God's answer in this earth, and the gates of hell will not prevail over it. You can get excited about that. So I'll end with this. Will I? Won't I? Yes, I will. There was an example of this. It's about 288 years ago in Germany, and it was the Moravians. Has anybody heard of the Moravians? And they had a 330-year history of doing what I'm talking about today. They'd become refugees. They were fleeing persecution. They ended up in Germany. And they linked with a wealthy German prince, and his name was Count Zinzendorf. Count. One. I love numbers. Does anybody see Sesame Street? I love the number four. Anyway, Count Zinzendorf, I think he would be like that. He owned a lot of land, and he asked if they could live there. And Zinzendorf allowed the refugees to build their town, and it was called Heron Hut. I was going to say Heron Butt, but it's Heron Hut, which is very German. And Zinzendorf became their pastor. They had their church struggles of every kind of human relationship issue that had been in churches everywhere. They had their jealousy and envy. They had their backbiting and competition. They had their striving with one another. They had their usual gossip and selfish ambition. They had a false prophet arise and tried to lead the people astray. They had a church split and a rebellion and so on, and every fleshly thing you could possibly think about. So not to, if you've been around church long enough, you've probably experienced all of that and probably a little worse. Though they had great Christian history, good teaching, faith, doctrine, good experience in God, etc., they were unable to keep strife at bay. Zinzendorf was a godly man and spent much time in prayer. One night, when trouble was on his hands, he spent the whole night crying out to God in prayer for the church. Heaven heard, and soon after that, on Sunday, August 13, 1727, something happened that in church history is known as the Moravian Pentecost. You'll have to come back next week to hear. Oh, go on. That Sunday morning, they were sharing a simple communion service when the Holy Spirit quietly moved in their hearts. Unlike on the day of Pentecost, there was nothing to see or hear. There were no tongues of fire or other outward signs. But the Holy Spirit sovereignly bringing a great grace into the hearts of the people totally and completely changed them for good. Two things happened. It seemed as if God had taken all our differences out of our hearts. And second, they'd become a people who greatly admired each other. There was like a genuine love for each other. So when I admire your differences, when I admire you. So two things happened. God took the differences out of their heart and they started to admire each other. The accomplishments of the Moravians as a result of his grace becoming theirs, this small group of people did more to evangelize the entire world in the following 20 years than the entire church of the whole world had done in the previous 200 years. They commenced a prayer meeting that ran 24 hours a day without ceasing for 114 years. They sent their missionaries. Oh man, last time I wrote this, I started to get emotional. (Clears throat) They sent their missionaries, especially to the most difficult parts of the world, and many of them were martyred. At one stage, for every new missionary they sent out, one was somewhere being martyred. They came to the place where one family would stay at home and work hard to support two families in the field. This next one gets me, I'm sorry. Two young men amongst them heard of 300 slaves living on an island to which no minister or Christian missionary would ever be allowed, for the plantation owner hated Christianity. Those two young men sold themselves into slavery for life so they could get into that island and give their lives to win those slaves for Christ. As they boarded the ship and were farewelled, their parents and loved ones from the church, never to see them again, they were asked their reason for doing this, and they said it was so Christ could have the inheritance for which he died. From that day on, the Moravian Pentecost, to the death of Zinzendorf 27 years later, the Moravian sent out of the small group some 250 missionaries across the world. I'm not saying that we're going to be like that. I think our fruit's going to be different because we're in a different culture, we're in a different place, we're doing life together differently. And I just sense that if we can do some of the things I've just talked about this morning and come into unity, we do community together, we'll become the church, and we will see not only in your own lives, but the community will change. And that's what I think church is. Church is just like that. For me, that's what church is. If church was just a club, I wouldn't be interested. But church is far more than that. And I'll leave you with this. Church is the community of believers empowered by the Spirit to do great exploits in the earth. That's what church is. I'm going to end it there and in good time. So, Father, we just thank you for this morning. Let us have a mini Pentecost here, God. Let us have what the Moravians did and what they had. God, as we come together and as we start to do life together, help us to transition, God, from just looking and beholding to actually becoming the church, becoming community. Lord, that we would deliberately rub up against other people and be friendly and be nice. And my challenge this morning is meet someone new today. Say hello to someone you've never said hello to before. That'll begin it. That'll start it. That'll be the catalyst for it. You just don't know why these people are here sitting right next to you today as we connect with each other and we overcome the work of the enemy. Because we are God's answer in this earth, and the gates of hell will not prevail over us as a church. I declare it and I decree it in the name of Jesus today. In your precious name, amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a
thank you for downloading this podcast. If you would like more information about our church, visit centrallife.com.au.